Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. And with me today in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast and the Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College, Dr. Les Olah. Doc, it's good to have you here today.
Well, a blessing to get into the Word again, and particularly on the topic we have of this Philippians 4:13.
You know, we hear regularly from people, and the Lord has just been so good to take some of the things that you've said and some of the things we've had the opportunity to talk about on the broadcast and just really minister to them to where people really are. And I want to say that to encourage you, and I know that many of our listeners would echo those statements. Thank you for teaching us over these many, many weeks now.
Well, when you're talking in a studio and me having to look at you and vice versa, we wonder if anything is happening. But we do pray before each time we broadcast that God's Spirit will do the work, and we realize we are not capable, but we do pray it is a blessing.
Well, and that's really kind of what we've been talking about in this series of broadcasts. And as we wrap up our series on Where Is Your Confidence out of Philippians 4:13, we come today now to really the heart of the matter. You have given us three big ideas out of this passage. There is a fact that we do have confidence, and God says to people who have no strength and are despised and absolute nothings in the sight of the world, you can do something. You can do all things. And then you pointed out that there is also a fullness to that promise in the all things part of that. And maybe you want to take just a second to put some parameters around that for us.
Yeah, the fullness of our confidence, all things, we challenge. What is it that God has for you within His will? Because we do have the promise of answered prayer. You ask anything according to my will, I will do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. You have to determine what is that. Maybe it's a mission field. Maybe God wants to shake you from your comfort level, but because of your personal insecurity and fears, you have not made that step. And then we went from the fact, I can, all things, the fullness, to the focus through Christ. It's not us. It's not my abilities, my talent. The world is not waiting for me to spring myself out onto the world and get wowed. No, it's Christ who is the center. It's Christ who is the focus.
Right.
And then we look finally at the force of our confidence, which strengtheneth me. And this is the dynamite of this whole thing. And I believe the best way to summarize this particular point is go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Because I think you reach the summit of Paul's discussion in 2 Corinthians, it's like a mountain you're ascending and you're ascending, you're ascending. And Paul is establishing the paradoxes. He's establishing the pressures. And it seemed like we come to a point where Paul is dealing with, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the whole aspect now of his own inabilities, but yet the enablement that comes through Christ. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 5 through verse 10.
Yeah, you know, this is that account where Paul is describing what happened to him in kind of terms like it, you know, out of humility that it, he knew a man and this man was caught up into paradise.
A good verse with that, chapter 13 and verse 4, because to me it goes right along with verse 10. Now, what do we call in this point? The force of our confidence. We have been endued, infused with dynamic power. And that's a significant, it's a causative verb, and dunamos. And it is the that which is within me that is causal. When we think, I can't, it's an offense to the God who called us. Because he said, I have empowered you for this.
Now, I've put strength in you.
Yeah, literally infused. Poured power into you. So when we look at the story here, what is Paul telling? He is giving his testimony. And now he had a thorn in the flesh, which to me had to be very aggravating for Paul, because I can picture Paul as a very driven person. I remember my son and I were at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, and I saw a man go up to the Wailing Wall for a period of time and leave, an Orthodox Jew. And I told Stephen, I said, Stephen, that is exactly how I picture the Apostle Paul in my mind. Full of energy, fast, very focused, very purposeful, driven, as a driven individual. And when he was that way as a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he became that way as a believer. But God had to do what with Paul before he sent him into public work?
He had to humble him.
He had to humble him in what way? by showing God showing himself to Paul. Paul had to realize who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Paul started, and it was quite a period of time, 3 years,
right,
in solitude, which is not inner emptiness, it's inner fullness.
Mm-hmm.
And then for a period of time back home, it could have been as many as 10 years out of circulation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I tell students when I counsel them. And when I speak to preacher boys who say, hey, I have a year of Bible in now. Let's go and get the job done. I said, wait a minute now. When Paul got saved, first thing he did was gave a testimony. But I said, you look at people who get saved and all they have is a testimony. They always crash. You get an athlete saved. Hey, get him on the circuit, give him his testimony. Next thing you know, where's so-and-so? He kind of fell off.
Yeah.
You get, hey, this guy's a politician, very popular. Let's get him in. I heard he's a believer now.
Yeah.
Well, gave a testimony. Paul did that instantly. But God then took him from testimony to training. And the training was, number one, learn who God is. Number two, learn who I am. And that training was a period of time. And then he hit the trench and never turned back. But you get people who go from testimony to trench, they either
without the training,
or they get off into some haywire thing. They get off into some thing that is not biblical and it's imbalanced.
Boy, that is so true even in local church ministry.
I mean,
even with everyday people. And you know what? If those of you listening, that little nugget we just heard is worth the price of the broadcast today. You really, there is a testimony and there is a trench, but there has to be a time of training in the middle.
But the training has to be centered in God and the person of Christ.
Right. It isn't necessarily that you go off to school or that you, you get into learning Greek and Hebrew. This is about learning God.
Learning who God is. This is what Paul did. So when he comes back full circle from his life, where does he end up? He ends up back in utter dependency, the very thing his flesh would have shunned. According to Philippians chapter 3, the early segment, verses 1 through 9.
I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and I was perfect when it came to the works of the law.
Yeah. But now we find Paul, what was he begging for in the prayer three times? And I believe this prayer was more than at dinner. Say, oh, and God, by the way, this thorn deal. I believe he literally cried out unto God on three different occasions. What was it about?
He wanted God to take away this thing that was just oppressing him.
Yeah, but it said a messenger of
Satan
to buffet me. But why would God allow that? Because that is what God used to keep Paul dependent and humble, kept him usable,
mm-hmm.
because Paul's makeup would have been just the opposite of that. Now, let's focus on this. We see the force of his confidence. Three words are key. There's grace,
mm-hmm.
there is glory,
mm-hmm.
and there is the goal. And the goal is this purpose clause at the end of verse 9. Now, first of all, let's look at the grace. Now, how did God answer him? Verse 8, I besought the Lord three times that it might depart mm-hmm. from me. And he said unto me, literally what this is meaning, as I said before, Paul, so I say again, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting, when you look at the structure of this, in the language, it was a reinforcement of what had been told before.
A reiteration.
A reiteration. By grace. So let's look at the grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. By grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labor the more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul was magnifying the grace of God.
Right.
1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. What was Paul's prayer of thanks? I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, counting me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So there was enabling grace. There was employing grace. Entrusting grace. That was given in this circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul was basking in the fact that it was by grace. It was not his works. It was not his goodness. Now, Paul said, I labor more abundantly than they all. Genius is work. There's no way you can get around that.
Yeah.
And Paul didn't say, I sat and rested. He said, no, I labored more abundantly than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. You see, the perfect balance.
And that grace is what empowered. I think that's what your point is. There's empowering that comes from that grace because God has entrusted a particular ministry to you. And that ministry is done through the enabling or the employing grace that puts you in that ministry.
Right, because the grace that brought salvation also is the grace that brings the empowerment for what he wants us to do.
Right.
Our flesh has nothing to do with this. Our bodies are simply cooperators. Our soul has to be filled with the Spirit of God.
Right.
And we find the grace. And then secondly, we look at glory. And there he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness in 2 Corinthians 12:9. Most gladly will I rather glory. Now, glory in what? What does it say there?
In infirmities.
Glory in infirmities.
In the things he's hoping God will take away.
See, the birds glory in their song. The athlete glories in his strength. Paul gloried
in his weakness,
in his infirmities. But he also gloried in ignominy. He gloried in the fact that he was seen in a very negative sense.
In reproach, in necessity, in persecution.
Yeah, but you look in verse 15, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Hmm. Be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. What was he saying here? Verse 11, I became a fool in glorying. He was saying, my glory is not only in infirmity, but in ignominy. You perceive me
as a nothing.
As a nothing. You perceive me as a zero. Not only the world, now these who are professing converts.
Wow.
And he said, nevertheless, I'll very gladly spend. I'll give
spent.
You my things and be spent. I'll give you me.
Hmm.
Knowing the more you love me, the less I'm going to be loved.
Hmm.
That's only the grace of God at work. Human flesh is not capable of producing.
Boy.
Most convicting ministry verse in the Bible to me. So the grace, the glory, and then what was the goal? In order that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
Mm.
This is a linear thought. The more my weakness grows, the more his strength grows. The more my power grows, the less I am aware of his
empowerment. Because I'm depending on that.
And so when we look at our ministries today, if everything can be figured out, then man gets the glory.
Mm.
What I just saw in Canada with Jim Tillotson up there, there's no way to explain that except the grace of God at work in new converts and a humble, usable, pliable, flexible servant. So our goal, that the power of Christ may rest on me.
Mm. And Doc, with that, we're going to have to wrap up the broadcast and the series. We hope and pray that the Lord will use this series on Where is Our Confidence to help every one of you listening to recognize that what God has called you to do, He has sent His grace to enable you, just like He did the Apostle Paul. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.